Morning, everyone. This meeting is called to order January 27, 2010 at 9:07. Before proceeding with any business, I believe we have a statement to make.
I do. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. A public notice of this meeting containing all items on the proposed agenda has been filed in the Office of the Secretary of State as required by Chapter 551 Government Code, referred to as the Open Meetings Act. I would like for this note to be officially noted in the record of the meeting. So, thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Smith. We'll begin with the Finance Committee. Chairman Falcone.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The first order of business is the approval of the previous committee minutes, which have already been distributed. Do I hear a motion for approval?
So moved.
Commissioner Bivens?
Second.
Second, Commissioner. Okay. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay. Before proceeding with the next item, Mr. Chairman, I would like to inform the Commission that committee item number 4, Department of Information Resources Data Center Services contract update, has been withdrawn. Committee item number 1, update on Texas Park and Wildlife Department progress in implementing the Land and Water Resources Conservation and Recreation Plan. Mr. Smith, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. As we discussed at the last meeting, we are going to end up changing kind of the formatting of these updates on the land and water bullets. And, you know, Scott is going to be giving you a presentation a little later today on the status of our division operating plans that y'all asked us to prepare. And so I think Scott's got a good update on that front. We're going to start tailoring these land and water updates to comport with that plan as we move forward. We're still very much in our formative stages, so we're not ready to kind of roll out that new format yet. So I want to highlight a couple of key issues, though, that I want to make sure that y'all are apprised of. I think many of you remember with the sunset legislation that the agency went through, there were a number of changes that were asked of the agency by the legislature, one of which impacted our internal affairs division. I think y'all are well-versed in that, of extremely competent and talented staff led by Graham Jones and ably staffed by Joe Carter and Jeff Gillenwaters. But two of the changes that were made as a function of that legislation were that the internal affairs staff would report directly to the executive director and that there would be a report provided to the commission at each meeting on the status of their investigations. And so what we're going to propose to do is kind of submit a written report on kind of the cases that the IA team has looked at and completed to kind of give you a sense of that. And as you know, they handle criminal investigations and criminal allegations against colleagues inside the agency, as well as matter of policy violations in some cases. And then we'll have a once-a-year update to the commission from Graham on the status of that. So there's a report that I'll get from Graham, and we'll distribute that to y'all. But I just wanted to let you know that that's forthcoming as a function of the new changes with the sunset legislation. Also, I think y'all are advertent to the fact now that the governor and lieutenant governor and speaker have sent out a directive to all state agencies and institutions of higher learning, save and except a very, very small handful, that have asked us to put together a plan to reduce spending over the current biennium by 5%. And they've asked us to have that submitted to the Legislative Budget Board and the Governor's Office by the 15th of February. They've asked us to look at both our general revenue and our general revenue dedicated sources of funding, so essentially most all of the sources of funding in the agency, save and except a little bit of funding that we are getting through the Recovery and Reinvestment Act, which is really nominal in the whole scheme of things. To put it in perspective, a 5% cut, what does that mean to the agency over the biennium? It's about a $25 to $26 million diminution in spending, so it's appreciable. We are proposing to use kind of the same process that we used last year when we were asked to reduce spending by 2.5%. The senior leadership team is putting together substantive ideas now that we will consider. We will review that as a management team. We will have recommendations on that, and then we will bring those back to Chairman Holt and you, Chairman Falcone, as chair of the Finance Committee, to talk about those before we formally submit those in February. The governor's letter specifically asked that we make sure that we take all effort not to cut or pare back any kind of core services that the agency provides, and so we'll try to use those parameters to the extent we can. You know, they're not suggesting we need to take a 5% cut across all elements of the agency, although that would certainly be a possibility. I think we're going to look at this more strategically in terms of what we recommend. The other part of it, and I'd be remiss if I didn't say this, I think we should unquestionably expect further directions with respect to reductions in spending, particularly as we look at preparing budgets for the next biennium. And so we absolutely need to take that into account as we're contemplating this. So we'll keep you apprised of that, but I wanted to let you know of a major area of focus for us right now from a finance and administrative perspective. The other thing that I wanted to mention, very soon we should be getting instructions from the Legislative Budget Board about the preparation of the natural agenda. As y'all know, that's the legislature's perception of our kind of strategic plan that leads up to the submission of our legislative appropriations request. And so we use that document, and we'll crosswalk it with the land and water plan that y'all approved in November. But it really sets the stage for what we will be asking of the legislature from an LAR perspective in the next biennium. And so we have not gotten formal instructions on that yet, but we expect that to come probably in February, maybe a little delayed as a function of the focus on the 5% cut that they're asking all the agencies to look at now. But we'll obviously be keeping you apprised of that, of the development of that plan, and we'll be talking with you about that further as we go forward. Last but not least, again, the little bit of funding that we got from the Recovery and Reinvestment Act, infrastructure is using largely with state parks to invest in some electric vehicles and hybrid vehicles in state parks as a way to help save fuel consumption in that regard. And so they've got a kind of a new model of electric truck that they're going to be rolling out in some parks, and we'll see how that works and see how functional it is on the ground. So we're excited about that development. So with that, Mr. Chairman, I think that concludes my report, unless there's any questions that you have of me.
Commissioner Dickinson.
Is this the internal affairs report in the yellow?
Yes. Yep. It's a summary report.
That was the first question. And then the second question on the spending cut that the department's currently evaluating. Could the cuts include cuts in spending for the HART grants?
Yes, they could. That could be an option that we look at, and candidly, we'll probably look at that. You know, we have very, very strong support for that throughout the state. I happen to think that that's a very, very effective program that we have in terms of investing dollars in local communities and helping to develop sites. But as we look at, you know, the range of options there, that probably will be at some level something that we'll need to consider. So it is an option for us to think about.
Anybody else? Carter, thank you so much. I know that it's been difficult, and we've had moving targets with the different weather events that we've had, and revenues have changed, and it's just been difficult to predict. And I want to thank you and the senior staff for rolling up your sleeves and starting to work hard on to get this ready for the state leadership. Thank you very much.
Thank you for your support.
The next item is one that's close to my heart, because after 30 years of medical practice, I still use stick figures to explain anatomy. And so I really appreciate anybody that can do it. Except you. Mr. Wood, where are you? You have your presentation, please? This is on the proposed stamp and print artwork program. Thank you very much for being here.
Good morning. My name is Frances Stiles, and with the Administrative Resources Division. Under the terms of the contract for the print artwork program, each year Mr. Wood comes and provides the artwork for your review. Once that is taken into consideration and approval is made, we turn those into a series of prints as well as collector stamps, of which Mr. Wood also markets. and the agency sells the stamps. And this year, Mr. Wood is here to go ahead and present the artwork that we have.
Commissioner Falcone, when you started out, and you said in 30 years, I thought you were going to say, I have a complete collection of these duck stamps in my office, and you just totally dashed my hopes that you were a full matching number collector. For those of you who don't know, that we've had the contract with the state since 1981 for what then was only the waterfowl stamp and what we now call the migratory stamp. In 1981, that stamp was the largest signed and numbered limited edition print ever published anywhere. And we paid the state of Texas that year $700,000, over $700,000 in royalty and stamp income from the stamps we bought to put with the prints. Things have changed. But over the course of that 29 years, we paid the state $7,160,000. That's the good news. The bad news is this year we're going to pay you $35,000, and it's just been a slow attrition over those 30 years. We didn't realize that would be the result of was hardly thinking within. I was worried more about how I was going to ship 16,500 prints than what the future lay. But anyway, it's something that when we started doing this, I was 39 years old. I'll be 70 my next birthday. That sort of. Perhaps marginally inspirational, but seriously depressing when you think about it. everyone else has gone on to better things, and I'm still presenting the duck stamp. during that period of time, we've had 4 executive directors, 6 governors, 8 chairmen, hundreds, I guess, commissioners, and I'm still presenting the duck stamp. Anyway, it's a great privilege to do that, and the department's been absolutely fabulous to work with. No one better than Francis Stiles. This year's duck stamps are, the migratory stamp is the widgeon there in the middle. It's done by Peter Mathios. Peter is the 2009 Ducks Unlimited Artist of the Year. It's the first year we've used him. He won his first duck stamp in 2006, winning the Michigan duck stamp, which coincidentally is the first duck stamp Collector's Covey ever published in 19. The Michigan duck stamp is the first duck stamp we ever published in 1977. He's 3 times been accepted into Birds and Art at the Lee Aukey Woodson Museum in Wausau, Wisconsin, which is sort of the Super Bowl of bird art, and it's very difficult to get non-game artists to do it because there's. Last year we sold. This is good news. This is positive. Last year we sold 31 non-game stamps. This year we sold 34. So who can say we're not making progress? I try to bully someone into doing a non-game stamp in this way. And with Peter's case, I said you can do the duck stamp if you'll do the non-game, and he did cedar wax wings on the right, and that's my. My contribution to the hundreds of cedar waxwings I shot as a little boy with a BB gun up in a chinaberry tree. I hope the statutes have run on that, but it's been well over 50 years ago. The saltwater stamp is right here. Obviously trout by Ronnie Wells from Salado, Texas. Ronnie's a sculptor and painter. He was 2007 Ducks Unlimited Artist of the Year. His magnificent bronze of mallards is in front of the Ducks Unlimited headquarters in Memphis, Tennessee. Really, Ronnie's probably more of a sculptor, more famous for being a sculptor, although he's done the CCA conservation stamps, and it's the first time we've used Ronnie. Some of y'all may know his son, Ethan Wells, from Rockport, who is the best fishing guide I've ever fished with. Really a neat, neat young man. The freshwater stamp is, of course, a largemouth bass by David Drinker. And David Drinker is a continuing presence in Texas art. He's done several of the projects for us for the Parks and Wildlife stamps and prints, the 2007 saltwater stamp of a snook, the 1998 saltwater of the trout, the 96 non-game of a cardinal, and the 94 what was then the turkey stamp, now the upland stamp of a Rio Grande turkey. And last is the turkey, the upland stamp that I received day before yesterday. Artist waited, of course, to the last minute, as I would have done, and didn't quite get the job done. And it doesn't pass my approval, so I certainly don't expect it to present it to you all and let you all approve it. He is in the process right now of repainting this same design, but taking a little more, putting a little more effort into it, and I apologize for not having all the images. Bruce Miller has done our duck stamp. He's won the federal duck stamp. He's been the Ducks Unlimited artist of the year. I mean, this guy's credentials is probably better than anyone in this little array of artists, but he just didn't quite get there this time. He dropped back on family problems, which ended all the discussions of why it wasn't here, and so hope you'll bear with me till we can get a new image. And if it'd be all right, if I could just send it to Carter and get his approval, then we can move forward with getting the stamps made and printing the prints.
And we had an issue kind of like this last year, not it having to do with the Lesser Prairie Chicken, and what we had to do is
yeah, I'd say we had an issue.
and so when Frances brings the recommendation forward tomorrow, I think what she'll ask for is permission for y'all to delegate authority for me to work with Bubba on approving the final turkey stamp, given that, you know, what he's just told us. So that's probably what you'll expect tomorrow. And I assume that would be an appropriate way to handle that. Okay.
Can we get the image electronically once it's
final? Sure. If y'all will give me your emails, I could send you a lot of information I want you to have. But
oh, he got it.
Dan, this is an inside joke. You'll learn to hate me like the rest of these guys. Anyway, sure.
I have one question.
Yes, sir.
How many migratory prints do you expect to sell this year?
One for sure. To you.
Right.
For sure. And I'm going to get one. So that's two. We're already
offering. What's the number down to?
The number. Here, I'm taking
it. Last year, what was the number? I'm sorry.
The number last year was 735 down from 802. The year before that, y'all may not be this interested in that, but I think it was 1996, the department went to automated licenses and stopped requiring the stamp to be physically done on the license. And that was really, I mean, it was still declining revenue stream for sure, dramatically declining. But that really was, you know, dramatic in what it did. You know, people use that as an excuse to quit. That's why we try to get the best art that we can get every year to try to not make that decision easy that, hey, I really like this wood duck or whatever the subject matter happens to be, to keep them online. Most of the people that are buying these stamp prints now are collecting matching number collections. And but 735, I'm sure that's still the biggest duck stamp print program in the country. The print industry is on, you know, is back on its heels. And, you know, it's still, we're going to send you a check this year for $35,922. That's, you know, it's nothing. We certainly wish we were where we were, but I'll be glad to keep it.
It seemed to me that there was a period when the whole stamp concept got out of hand. I mean, every entity was
right.
The Texas quail stamp.
Right.
Right. There were, and it diluted the market.
And the Texas duck stamp is the most guilty of that at all. At the time, the Texas duck stamp was done in 81. There was maybe 15 states that had a duck stamp program.
Right.
And when we came along and did 16,500, because you know, there were 16, 17 million people in Texas at the time. 80% of the waterfowl and central flyway winter in Texas. You know, it was just, and you know, just a tsunami of great fortune. You know, let us do 16,500, and they start seeing the other states started seeing these numbers, and they wanted to get in on the action. And yet they didn't have the foresight as this commission did to open it up to nationwide artists. There's not a state in the union that has the artistic talent to support a program. And Louisiana could have been a fabulous duck stamp because of their long duck stamp heritage. And at the last minute, they limited it to only Louisiana artists, which clearly was politically, obviously, an easy thing to do. But as a result, their program is just nothing, you know. I mean, so, and while ours appears to be nothing compared to what it used to be, it's, you know, still $36,000, you know.
Martin, I have a complete set of the saltwater stamp and the duck.
I knew I liked you the minute I met you this morning.
You know somebody that needs one, let me know.
No, wait a minute. We need to get more, not less. You know, I've had a couple of calls like that in the last year of people wanting to sell their duck stamp print collections. I guess the lesson is they're a lot easier to buy than they are to sell.
And when you get in, it's kind of
yeah,
hard to
exactly. Get that needle, right. And that's why we try to have the art as pretty as we can to make it harder for you to, you know, get off the horse. But thank you for your support.
Any further discussion or questions by the commission? Stiles, Mr. Wood, thank you so much.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you both.
Thank you, appreciate your service to
thank
the state.
You.
It's a thankless job, as I remind you all from time to time.
Committee item number 3, financial overview. Mr. Mike Jensen, would you please come up and make your presentation?
Good morning, Chairman, Commissioners. My name is Mike Jensen. I'm the Division Director for the Administrative Resources Division. And this morning, our staff has helped me prepare a summary to go over the prior fiscal year closeout and then to give you a status update of the current fiscal year budget. So we'll go ahead and start with a revenue synopsis of fiscal year 2009. We'll look at the state parks receipts first. Overall, receipts are up almost 1%, nearly $300,000 when we compare fiscal year 09 against fiscal year 08. But during this period, we have to also recall that we had the hurricane. So Galveston Island and Sea Rim were out of operation for most of fiscal year 09. So if I actually pulled those figures out of both years, we would be looking at receipts being 3.9%. And it would be $1.45 million. Galveston Island has a significant amount of revenue that it contributes to the state park system. Overall, if we look at the facilities, comparing, they're down about 0.5%, about $77,000. Entrance fees, they're up about 2.6%, $286,000. Concessions are down 11%, which is approximately $578,000. Park passes are up 4.2%. And the money for that is approximately $231,000, and donations are up significantly, and that accounts for about $560,000. If we go to boat revenue, and Frances was here earlier, I'd like to thank her for helping me with these figures, as well as with the parks figures. We had staff who really helped me present this information to you. Boat revenue last year, I think in August we talked about this. We started the fiscal year in 2009 in fairly poor condition. There just aren't many sales of boats right now or during last fiscal year. In fact, last November when we were looking at boat fees and boat sales tax and the revenue to the department, those were very much in the red. Last November they were 15% in the hole, 32% in the hole for taxes. But we did wind up the year down only 3.2%. I think at the beginning of August when we last met, went over this, we were down about 3.8%. So we're behind fiscal year 2008 by about $680,000. If we do it item by item, registration is up by 1.4%, 1.5%, $204,000. If we look at titling is actually down by 5%, which is about $208,000 in the hole behind the prior fiscal year. And the sales tax is really hurting. It was behind by almost 24%, which is $675,000 in the hole. License sales revenue, if we compare this, we'll just start from the bottom combination working up to the top of other. Combination license revenue is down slightly, $186,000, and that's a drop of about 0.6%. Non-resident fishing licenses are actually up by 1.5%, $61,000. Resident fishing is down almost 1%, $235,000 in the hole. Non-resident hunting was down by 14%, which is down by $353,000. And resident hunting was down by 1.7%. and that's about $281,000. The reason that this revenue appears to be up by 3.8% is the other category. We had the fee change in, we had a huge spike in lifetime license sales at the end of the license year and the beginning of this license year as well. And so that other category is disproportionately making up that $3.6 million. So if we were to actually take the license sales out of these figures and look at it and just look at the Fund 9 contribution to license sales, there's the lifetime license goes into an endowment fund, those proceeds. All the other licenses go into Fund 9. So if we pull the endowment piece, then there's a decrease in Fund 9 revenue attributed to licenses by $1.14 million. And that percentage would be a decrease comparing between fiscal years of 1.18%. And when we go into the current year, I'm going to compare you from the current year to fiscal year 09, and I'm also going to compare you to fiscal year 08, because 08 is actually the benchmark that was used for the fee increase, and that will give you a better picture of how tight things are, specifically with Fund 9.
You said only non-resident fishing was up, the rest were all down?
That, yes, sir, that's correct.
Other than the lifetime license.
Other than the lifetime license.
Including life. Yeah. I'm talking about Fund 9.
Yes. And we're having a similar trend this year, but we haven't gotten into the peak of fishing season, but we'll get to that when we get to those slides. Hopefully we'll have a good fishing season this year and our revenue will go up to what we're hoping.
The assumption, I mean, you could make the assumption that some of the people that would have bought the combination bought lifetime. Would you admit a fair assumption to make?
I think that would be a fair assumption. Do you agree, Gene?
Okay, how many more of these resources?
He was asking some of the people who may have bought the license to buy the combo instead.
Bought for lifetime because of the fixed their cost.
Well, I'm Gene McCarty, Deputy Executive Director for Administration, but that lifetime was sold, was the sale was at the end of the year, so I suspect that those people were already holding a license that they bought earlier in the year, and they bought a lifetime at the end of the year, which will carry them forward. So I don't think that that lifetime license peak really had much of an influence on the prior year's license sales.
The biggest impact was probably the hurricane, because that was during when people could have been fishing for the first quarter of the fiscal year. And I'm hoping that's part of why it was down and that we're going to have a better year in this current fiscal year when we get to that slide.
Gene, do we have any way to track the actual usage of lifetime license holders? So do we have any formalized way to do that? Are you aware of anything?
Not really. I mean, the only thing that we can track is who actually went and picked up their tags for that year or did not.
Yeah.
But there's not really any other way to track it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you. I'll move on to the next slide, which shows budget versus expenditures. I'd like to draw you back to August when we talked about the budget at that point in time. At the end of August, we had an operating budget in 09 that was approximately $498 million. That's not represented in this slide because we've had a lot of adjustments since then. During that presentation, we talked about items that we had planned on you being into the current fiscal year, and we have since done that. That's why this budget has fallen from $498 million down to a final budget in December of $388.8 million. That's the ending fiscal year 09 budget as of December 31st. And when we get to that point, Executive Office had asked the different divisions to be as conservative as they could, particularly with Fund 9 type expenses. So when you look at here in salaries and other and operating equipment and these other categories that add up to $8 million, that appears to be a lapse. A lot of that was by design. It was asked by the division directors to do that because last fiscal year, cash balances for Fund 9 were very low. So out of this $8 million, approximately $5 million of that is attributable to Fund 9 in order to conserve the cash balances that are available for use in this current fiscal year. Part of the salaries and the other was in the division-wide budget, but the $5.2 million in operating equipment, I think that was a lot of the request from Carter and the Deputy Executive Directors, James, Scott, and Ross, asked the division directors to conserve their operating funds, and they did. And that is
helping with the cash balances for Fund 9. And when we get into the current budget, a lot of the decrease from the 498 to 388 has been UB'd into the current fiscal year, and we'll get to that in that slide. Moving ahead to fiscal year 2010, the current fiscal year, I'm going to show you the similar revenues with state parks. We're going to talk about the boat revenue and the license revenue, and then we'll give you a couple more slides on the status of the budget. State parks is still performing fairly well. September was a great month, and November was a good month. October, compared to October, was slightly down, as well as December, but year-to-date, receipts are up by almost 8%, which is nearly $742,000. So if we look at facilities are up 9.5%, which is $400,000. Entrance and user fees are up 8.6%, which is about $209,000. Activities and concessions are up about 2%, $23,000. Park passes are up 4.5%, about nearly $60,000. Then miscellaneous and donations together are up about $50,000, which is about 18% increase, which is pretty good.
When you say donations, what are you referring to?
They have lock boxes in the parks, and if
there's cash donations,
it could be cash donations. It comes in different forms. If somebody even sent a check in with a specific use, we want this to go to this park, it would be deposited as a donation. And anything above $500, you would see on a list. It's approved by this commission. So. But a lot of the lock box items are small cash.
That doesn't include friends group amounts, does it?
You know, Mike, at some parks there are boxes in which folks can make a donation to support the Friends of Paladura Canyon State Park. That's a separate revenue stream, and we don't count that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Boat revenue. Had the earlier slide where we're comparing 9 to 8, and we could tell that there people just are not selling boats. They're still not selling boats. When we get to a comparison, the revenue is up 19.3% or $656,000. But when we look at the registration, that's up 28%, almost $600,000. A lot of that is attributed to a fee increase. Titles are up nearly 8%, which is about $67,000. However, sales tax is still down. It's down by about 1%, about $4,000 in the red. But we're also comparing this current fiscal year to a very bad fiscal year last fiscal year. So that percentage last fiscal year was about negative 23%. So you're adding another point on top of that. So if you compare the 2 years, they're just not moving and selling boats right now. However, on the other hand, the registration titles are up, which is a good thing, because compared to last year, those were in the red this time of year. License sales revenue as of December 31st for the current fiscal year, the revenue is up by 6.3% or $4.2 million. But it's the same thing that I'd mentioned before when compared 09 and 08. Most of the increase is attributable to the other category, and the other is comprised primarily almost 100% of lifetime license sales. So here's a situation again where lifetime license sales is making up the greater portion of that $4.2 million. So if I exclude the lifetime license sales out of these full figures, and we just look at Fund 9 impact to license sales, Fund 9 revenue is up by about 4.6%, or approximately $3 million. So Fund 9 is $3 million of that 4.2. The remainder is lifetime license sales.
Mike, why would a lifetime license sales be up this year? Since it's already been, there was a fee increase in September 1st, wasn't there?
There was. And there's,
but people continue to buy a lifetime license.
We had a huge spike, and I mean, hundreds and hundreds of envelopes came in. So some of it's a timing issue when they get deposited into the state treasury.
So they're actually bought last year, or they were, under the 2009 fee structure, but it just was put in the budget this year, or in the showing up this year.
They most of them had to be processed manually. So you have a stack of hundreds here, and you work them through. You might be a week or two into the fiscal year, and they did get deposited in. It's a small anomaly, but that's, we talked with Tom Newton, and that's what is attributing to most of that.
Okay.
If we look at the total licenses sold between 10 and 9, it's approximately up 1.6%. Total hunting's up 2.1%. Total fishing's up 1.8%.
and the total combo is about breaking even. But as I mentioned earlier, this is not a really good comparison. A better benchmark is for us to compare to 08. So we're going to go ahead and do that both for revenue, and then we'll do that for the count of licenses sold. When we look at the revenue, comparing 10 to 8, we're still up, but barely by about half a point, 263,000. However, if we look at the other category, which is lifetime license sales, when we pull those out, we look at the impact of just Fund 9, Fund 9 revenue is actually down by about 570,000, comparing 10 to 08. That's almost a 1 percentage point difference between the 2 years. If I go through combination license revenue, that's up by 3.4%. Non-resident fishing is down 2.4%. Resident fishing is down 11.5%. Non-resident hunting is down nearly 8%. Resident hunting is up 3%. The biggest item here is really the residential fishing licenses. We're hoping we're going to have a good season this year because that's where we're really down right now with respect to revenue as well as with the count of the licenses sold.
Mike or Gene, I'm sorry, Commissioner, go ahead.
No, I just was ask why an 11% drop in resident fishing? Any idea what that's attributable to?
We're beginning to see an interesting shift in buying patterns with fishing. People used to buy their fishing license early. They bought it when they bought their hunting license or whatever. They bought it in the early years, early part of the year. Right now we're seeing people buying a buying pattern in fishing, at least we saw it last year, and I'm hoping that we'll see it this year, where they're deferring their purchase until they absolutely have to have it. And so we're seeing a stronger spring spike in fishing license sales than we've seen in prior years, in previous years. And I'm assuming it's just attributable to the economy and people making decisions on where they spend their money and deferring those expenses as far as they possibly can until they absolutely have to have it.
So you're saying instead of looking at December, if you looked at February or March, it wouldn't be any close to a drop. In fact, it may be an increase.
That's correct. That's what we're hoping for.
Certainly saw that after the Hurricane Ike year. Gene, it probably also would be instructive to say a few words about what's happening with the sale of like senior licenses and senior super combos and that increase, because that's having an impact on us and will continue to have an increased impact on us.
Yeah, as we all probably can attest, the population's getting older, and we're seeing a greater and greater shift from our traditional, just our basic license, let's say our basic super combo, to the senior super combo, from our basic fishing license to the senior license. And that's been growing several percentage points a year, and we expect that probably to begin to almost increase exponentially over time. Just as this population gets older, and unfortunately we may not be replacing those people in the license stream as quickly as they're moving from a full cost license to a discounted senior license. So that's also having an impact to our revenue.
Carter, sometime during the year, do we look at this on like a 10-year running average? All the different licenses and not revenue so much, but number of licenses. And
yeah, we can absolutely put that together, and we've done that in the past where we've got a 10-year horizon.
We've got a 20-year schedule that we've looked at over time, and I think the last one I sent to the commission was probably about a year ago, maybe 18 months ago. I'll send another one out just so you can get a picture of over a longer period of time, what licenses are out there, or at least what the sales are. You have to kind of look at it very closely, because we've changed license structure so many times over that 20-year period of time. You got to know where to add and what licenses are kind of equivalent to other licenses over time. But it's a really nice document.
Being fairly new on the commission, it'd be interesting for me to see that document.
We'll get that to you.
That's a good idea, Dan.
Okay. I believe I gave you percentages, just one before I flip to the next slide, and that percentage on residential fishing licenses, actually we're behind 1.17 million. So it's fairly significant in terms of the revenue amount.
Which you're still just talking about 1 month, aren't you?
We're talking year-to-date through...
We're talking September through December of this year versus September through December of 08. And remember, 08 is a marker year. It's a banner year. So we're comparing this year against our best year.
So when we compare to 9, it looks favorable, but I wanted y'all to see the comparison to 8. Everything that we've done downtown, working with you and the legislature, the fee increase was tied to the 08 figures. So we need to keep looking back to 08. Total licenses sold, comparing 08 to 010, the total number are down by 2.3%. The biggest drop is really residential fishing licenses. That drop was 15%. That represents about 54,000 licenses less. And the next drop is non-resident hunting licenses. Those are nearly 3,000 less at this point in time than compared to 08. This slide here gives you a presentation, high-level overview of our revenue collections versus our annual revenue estimate. The column that says revenue estimate represents the targets that has been established for us by basically the legislature. They have a biennial revenue estimate. We call it the BRE. And for Fund 9, which is Game, Fish, and Water Safety, the BRE, the revenue estimate that we were given, is $169.5 million. For the State Park Fund, the BRE estimate is $106.4 million. The Local Park Fund is Fund 467. That target we were given is 10.9. And the other category is comprised of a number of different things. It's comprised of appropriated receipts for artificial reef, and it also does have a component of lifetime licenses in it. The revenues that we've collected to date, Game, Fish, and Water Safety, $75 million. And State Park Fund, 32.6. Local Park Fund, 5.1. And most of that other is, we did get a donation to Artificial Reef Account. It was, since it's a sizable donation, it's Mariner Energy Incorporation, McMoran Oil and Gas LLC. They made a donation to the department. And comments that I have on these, with the BRE that they established for us, they estimated high on their oil and gas royalties. And they also estimated high, the comptroller's office, not our staff, on interest earnings. So it's going to make it a challenge for Fund 64, because you can see Fund 64 is only at 31.8% so far. And into the year, we're about 33% finished with the year. So that's going to be tight. The positive side of the State Park Fund 64 is they've been consistently collecting more revenue at the parks. They've been doing a great job last year and this year.
How often are those BREs adjusted or done? Is it done every 2 years or is it done every year?
They can actually adjust that on an annual basis, but they can adjust it as we go, but they typically do it as part of the appropriation process, part of the two-year cycle. This slide is a summary of budget adjustments. I have a whole lot more of my details, but I'll just kind of walk you through this. As I mentioned, back in August, we had an estimate of what we thought was going to be a UB. That's why you have $125 million. That was part of that presentation. Since that time, since we started in September, we've had added additional federal grants, about $7 million. The FORCE account is a mechanism for us to be able to charge back to the programs for the infrastructure division when they're working on their hundreds, multiple projects. Other appropriated receipts is $2 million. Unexpended balances of $111 million. That's principally construction funds that are UB'd forward. It does have some donations, some federal grants, and it does include the $25 million in battleship that was added into the budget right at the end of August. Unexpended balances, House Bill 4586, that was a supplemental appropriations bill that we got at the end of the year. Pretty much UB'd most of that into the current fiscal year. Unexpended balances for Riders 3, 14, 17, 18, 22, that $12 million there has two large components. About $9.3 million, the largest share is the Eagle Mountain Lake appropriated receipt funding that we have. The next size, we have Rider 17, which allows the department to use federal funds for capital purchases. So we have UB approximately $2.3 million from that. So we have an adjusted budget at this time of $491 million, and that is having moved most of everything that could be moved from the last fiscal year into the current fiscal year. If we look at the current year's budget versus expenditures, through December 31st, we have 66.7% of the budget year remaining, and we have a total budget remaining of 76.4, so we're tracking well. Salaries is in line. If you look here, the largest adjusted budget items that we have are personnel costs for staff and capital projects for the construction that's going on, and that accounts for a majority of our budget.
That was, what's the percentage left?
Of which one?
66, just of our
of the year.
Total.
The year.
66.7% of the year is remaining.
Right, okay.
Yes, sir. And this last slide that I have, Carter already gave you an introduction to the instruction that we got from state oversight. We got the directive to reduce our budget by 5%, and they're in the process of formalizing some more instructions, but the instructions we've received already said to focus on general revenue and general revenue dedicated. The initial letter said we could deduct from the calculation our debt financing. So in this slide, we're showing you how we came up with what our 5% is. We took the GR from both years, and we took the GR dedicated from both years. Then we deducted from that the debt service that's built in our budget that's tied to the bonds. And then we calculated 5% on that remainder. Since then, we were told we could also reduce. We have a $127,000 amount that's tied to master lease purchase, the energy efficiency window film that they put on this building. But we were also told we had to add $1.27 million for the Schedule C salary increases. The bottom line, it doesn't really change the 5% target that much. The target's still going to be approximately $24.7 million. And all staff are working closely with Carter, Gene, Scott, and Ross to come up with a plan that's going to follow the instruction and maximize the dollars that we do have for the department. That's all I have for an update on closeout of the prior fiscal year and status of the current fiscal year. If you have any questions, I'd be happy to try and answer them.
Any questions or comments from the commission?
Prior to the last biennium, I don't remember, I should know this, but were we instructed to do any reduction?
Prior to the last biennium, we were not. In the course of the last biennium, we were asked to look at a potential 2.5% reduction. Yeah. Ultimately, that was never acted upon, but we submitted a plan for that. And the legislature chose not to act on.
I knew there was that number out there, but I can't remember if we'd acted on it. Well, the rumors I hear on the budget for the next biennium are a little concerning. I think if 5% is what we're told to reduce, that's considering what the overall number is, I think that's pretty reasonable.
Well, I think what we should fully anticipate is a 5% diminution during, you know, this biennium at least. And then I think what we are contemplating is that when the instructions come out to prepare the legislative appropriations request for the next biennium, that there will be an additional decrease on top of that. At what level, we're not quite sure. But we have to be planning for that now and fully expecting that. It would be really improvident not to. So I think you're right, Commissioner.
Good question, Gene. Refresh my memory as well. When we talked about the licensing system updates and that whole process that you went through some time ago, did we look into ways of drilling down on data on usage of licenses as opposed to just gross revenues and you know, growth and so forth, but actual usage? Do we have ways to get information on that in the system?
Not necessarily in the system, no, sir. We do a number of different surveys through the year. Coastal fisheries, inland fisheries, wildlife do a number of different surveys in terms of actual usage. We do a super combo survey every year in which we determine which of your tags an individual uses in terms of the tag complex within a super combo, but actually the license system itself cannot determine
the
actual
right.
usage. It assumes if you buy it, you use it.
Might be interesting to explore how we could look at, you know, when for the issuance of a subsequent year license, maybe a small survey or something that's tied to that, so we can get a sense of how they were actually used in addition to the surveys that we currently have. But
asking, did you actually use your license or your prior year license or something like that?
You know, did you leave, what'd you use it on? And, you know, just general 3 or 4 question type of thing that hopefully we can get a little data on. Do we feel good about the data we're getting on the existing surveys?
Yeah, the surveys that we conduct, we feel pretty good about. We've got, of course, the HIP survey out there that we don't feel very good about, but we're making some changes in it to try to get, I think, some better data from it.
That's good to hear.
Just because the, you know,
how many boot snipe and rally shot?
Yeah. And the way that's, you know, the way that's kind of executed at the licensed deputy level. I mean, they may or may not ask it, even though they're kind of required to. It's, you know, in the heat of battle, they may or may not do it, or they may just go ahead and check 1111 and move on to not slow down the sales line any.
I think it's a little hard to remember that too. It's like, you know, for some species toward the end of the year. But okay, good. Well, might be interesting to explore some of that and yes. get back to the commission with some input.
I agree with you, Dan, on that, and I still think we ought to continue to see if we can come up with a way to get emails mm-hmm. and people register for. I mean, buy a license. Or even if we did a random survey by email, you could get some information back from a license holder.
Yes, sir.
Great. Thank you. Appreciate it. Thanks.
Thank you very much. I would like to go back to the previous item, which was number 2, proposed stamp and print artwork program, and place that item on the Thursday Commission meeting agenda for public comment and action.
Great.
Item number 4 has been withdrawn, and that was the Department of Information Resources Data Center Services contract update. And Mr. Chairman, the work committee is done.